ufite nama switch nagisa nama switch ayinzi eka mukoni
Thank you so much. Okay, so I'm just gonna open this for a second. So as you can see, the project is in Zambia. It's in a rural area of Zambia, and so these are some of the kids. It's a rural area of Zambia, quite away from all cities. We're about 30 kilometers away from the nearest bigger city. And these are just a couple of the pictures of around town. This is the local village. And you can see, you know, this is the type of houses that people are living in, etc. There's a school. The school has about 300 children in it attending right now from grades preschool to grade 4. And sometimes when you go, you kind of feel like the Pied Piper at times with all the kids kind of running up to the truck, and this is them running up to the truck while I'm still inside. So I just wanted to kind of go through these quickly. There's, you know, the amazing thing is, like, you see just so many people smiling, and, you know, these kids, you can see how dirty this little guy is, but, you know, there's just this, like, spirit inside of that hopeful, amazing spirit, and you look at them, and you just want to help them as much as you can, because there's so much potential in these little kids. And this is some of the pictures inside the school as well. The kids get uniforms, and this is the fitness program outside. We also have started to bring in computers for the school. So we have two computers that were donated, and we went to a conference prior to actually going to the village, and it was really amazing to hear you know, just the stories of different schools and different projects on the go, and how sometimes when the people initially who set up the programs pull out, the programs often just fail, and they've got all the money and they've got all the resources available to them. But it was really an amazing blessing to see that the four teachers that are currently at the school really still using these computers, taking care of them, taking care of the software that was donated, like most of it last year. This year we had an extra laptop, and the kids just gobble it up. So here we're actually working with them in small groups, enabling the children to actually learn so that they can, therefore, the kids start teaching the kids, and it kind of multiplies that way, so we're not always one-on-one with the teachers or in small groups and stuff. So we really learned that from the conference, which is amazing. And I think a lot of the success of this program has really been based upon the personal relationships that have been maintained, you know, since I've left with the teachers. Even while we're away, we try to stay in communication. So, you know, God just has such a heart for relationships, and it's really amazing to see just the continued use of these machines. here's the kids using some programs. This is these little guys are saying grace. They're lining up. The school also provides Mary's Meals, which feeds the kids porridge once a day, all of the children. So, you know, the project wants to feed their minds and their bellies. It's an important thing, you know, so wherever we can manage it, they just kind of eat it on the grass, usually outside. As well, I put in some pictures of the soccer because, again, it's all this balance that has to happen. And right now, the little village, there's not a lot for people to do. And what happens is alcohol is really cheap, and they've got these little packages about this big that are like Tetra Paks. And you can buy them really cheap, and it's 45% alcohol. And it's just devastating, really, to the community because, you know, when you've got nothing to do, you've got no outlets for healthy programs, these are the things that people are turning to. And even children, you know, there was a young girl that we were talking about, 14 years old, and our teachers will go down and kind of hunt down their kids, you know, and try to pull them out of the bar at night because the bar is, I think, one of the few places that has a TV. And so the kids get pulled into going into there and, you know, hanging out in these really unhealthy places. And, you know, drink leads to promiscuity. AIDS is a really big problem in Zambia. And it just is an ongoing kind of cycle of problems. So really, you know, these soccer and the swings that I'll show you in a few minutes and healthy outlets for children and adults alike are so important. This is, I just wanted to give you guys an update. So the church had blessed the project and donated towards us having two encounter weekends and a School of Champions program. So all of the money was donated to do the printing, etc. So for those of you that are new, may not know, the encounter programs are a two-day, you know, pretty much full-day sessions that you just kind of get a head-to-toe, I like to call it kind of like a cleansing of, you know, just God's heart, learning about God's heart, learning about forgiveness. And the people that you saw that were singing in the car, that was after the second day. And the just like, I thought the first day that they came in, some people were nervous. Ooh, what's going to happen? That sort of thing. After the first teaching, their faces were like already lit up and smiling. And it was, you know, the first teaching is the Father heart teaching. And by the end of the second day, I thought people were going to float out of the room. It was just like God had just lifted off so much stuff. He had just done so many changes in people's lives. We heard testimony of, this is us teaching it, of just like carrying unforgiveness in their hearts, you know, for so long. And just having those tools to be able to, you know, get rid of it all and forgive and allow Holy Spirit to come in and heal, and people were just amazingly blessed. So we ran, we ended up doing one encounter program, and we started the School of Champions program while we were there as well. We also handed out hygiene packs. This little girl has a toothpaste that hopefully she will not eat. But 160 hygiene packs were put together, donations from this church, from outside as well, funds, whatever, were carried over, and we would teach people how to, this is a little guy with his hygiene pack, how to use everything from how to take care of your face cloth, you know, because it's really important. You can't kind of assume people will use it on their face and then use it on their shoes, and it's like, no, we don't do that. You're, you know, the whole bacteria thing, it's not healthy. They contained soap and toothpaste, that sort of thing. So poverty is still obviously a real issue. This is somebody's house here. This is actually a fairly good house. Teenage pregnancies are also a really big issue there. And so it all really comes back to education and starting with these kids that are really young and influencing them at a really young age that, you know, they do have a hope for their future. God has a plan for their lives, and it's a good plan. And he, you know, he can change things for them, right? He can change their outlook and their future. And this is Justin with his hygiene pack. He was very happy. But again, you just look like health and hygiene is just so important. Looking at these pictures and the you know, how the children have a lot of gunk coming out of their nose. Food preparation as well. This is so this lady in the previous picture, this is her giant drum. And this is what she is, and bless her, you know, she is a little entrepreneur. Like, she is out there and she's selling this mix of the maize and stuff like that. And so she has this entrepreneur's heart, right? But unfortunately, this is what she's working with. She's working and cooking out of this giant steel drum. And, you know, again, we want to prevent disease and illness and support people who are interested. We're really looking to help those that want to build into their community to be successful at doing that. And this fellow is another example of that, where I'll show you the swings that we use some of the money for, but you know, he's a smart, intelligent guy. He's about 23 years old, I think, he's married and two children, and just has such a passion and these to build up his community and you know, to work hard, and he's ready to do it. He just needs some opportunities to do so. You know, so he was a great help. He helped me put together all the swings. Spiritual life, also very important. This is a fellowship meeting prior to work at the banana farm, which is still kind of limping along. And this is a Sunday prayer where this little boy has an issue with his eye, and we're praying for him. And me in the church. And transparency is another really big deal. It's kind of surprising. This little girl here, when she first saw me, she was terrified of me. The Zambian word for white person is Musungu. And sometimes I would drive around in some of the further villages and you hear the kids, Musungu, Musungu. And then they'd go running away. Like, they were actually scared of me. They had not seen me before. I was, you know, very unusual to them. And so this little girl was the same thing, where, you know, she did not want to come close to me. And so my heart, this is a family's house pretty far into the bush, and my heart is really to be a missionary who's transparent, you know, who's just kind of, I want to have people in my home and be part of the culture as much as I can and show God's love through my everyday you know, through my everyday walk and my everyday life. And I was really blessed to be invited into people's homes. And actually, this little girl, her dad actually asked me to name her. So I was so honored. I named her after my sister, Melanie, who apparently made her waterproof mascara run when I told her that I named the baby after her. So she was really touched as well. And the chicken. So, you know, this is, again, just being part of the community, and my chicken is back there waiting for me. I hope I see her soon. the soccer programs, again, this is, so we are looking, you know, to continue on with these programs. It's really hard, though. Funds are an issue. And this is the swings that we use some of the funds to build as well, and just a real blessing. And in the end, these kids were out there until about 8 o'clock at night, and did not, like, we, at 8 o'clock there was dark. They had to be told to come off the seesaw. And there was, like, six of them on each side. But they're just, like, so hungry and so desperate to have, like, good, healthy, fun things to do. And so this is kind of, like, the whole project and some of the things we'd like to continue doing there. That kind of brings us to the end. So, so based on that little update, you know, God did just put some, you know, the testimonies of the things that he did there on people's hearts. Like I mentioned about the encounter weekend and the changes, and he had put a message of forgiveness to share with people, and of a father's heart as well for me to share at the church. And it was really amazing to me to see how much really the Lord's love transforms people. When I came in, you know, we all have issues, whether it's here, whether it's over there, and just, you know, sometimes we hear messages of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, you know, don't sin, don't make a mistake, don't, you know, don't drink, don't everything, right? And it's true, we don't want to be sinners, we don't want to walk into sin, we want to try to stay that way with clean hands, but, you know, the thing that really transforms us is God's love. And I was so touched and remembering, you know, John and Carol and, you know, our founding pastors who said, you know, they were tempted at times to kind of pull away from, you know, or they wanted to go into, you know, God's glory, power, signs and wonders, whatever. But the Lord kept bringing them back to this message of the Father's heart. And it was like, yeah, that's really, you know, it takes a lot of sometimes courage to stay in that place with the Father's love. It's like, okay, no, we want to keep coming back to that truth of how much he loves us. But that's the place where all the change really happens. Otherwise, I'm just kind of saying, no, I don't want to, you know, sin. I don't want to. And we keep saying no to sin. But, you know, it's much better and amazing when we say yes to God instead. And we turn our face towards him, you know. And so the Lord just brought that message on my heart to share with people. And we started seeing changes. You know, we started seeing people repenting of their sins, not because they had been caught in lies, but because they were just like, I just want to be closer to the Lord. I just want to let these burdens off of me. You know, I just want to change my life for the better, to better my family and my children and that sort of thing. So the Lord's, like, love is just so powerful to transform us. And along with that, God just gave me this kind of question one day. He's like, what do you think the celebration situation is in heaven? What do you think the celebration situation is in heaven? And, you know, we're dealing in a place where our farm is at a risk of being completely lost. We're talking about a gigantic farm, like 300 hectares, you know, is originally the farm size. I mean, I can't even imagine that in the scope of my brain, 300 hectares, you know. The farm supports the school. You know, if people don't have jobs, it doesn't matter if there's actually outside funding for the school. The kids are not going to get sent to school because the kids are going to have to go work for their families, that sort of thing. You know, we were dealing with, I don't know, legal issues around the farm as well. And always this lack of funds, right? Lack of money, lack of food, lack of, because there's just so many people and there's so many things you want to do. But God said, you know, what do you think the celebration situation is in heaven? And I'm not going to take too much time on it, but, you know, Luke 15 is the story of the lost son. And when the lost son comes home, what does the father do? He celebrates. He puts the robe on him. He gives him a ring, and he throws a party, right? And he brings the calf. And I think sometimes some of us feel like that other brother who's like, I was here the whole time and I didn't have a party. But you know what? We have to live in that place of knowing that God already has the victory. He has the victory over the lack of funds. He has the victory over, you know, the diseases of the banana plants. He has the victory over our lives where, you know, maybe we need money or healing or a job, or I'm like, oh, I need all three of those right now. You know, like, he has that victory in our life. You know, Romans 8 says we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. I love that. It's, you know, we're not just, okay, yeah, we won. You know, God won. No, it's like the victory already belongs to him. And he's for us on top of that. And we can rest in his peace and we can rest in his presence knowing all of that. So what is the celebration situation? The celebration situation is that God is not worried. God is not up in heaven worrying about if things are going to work out. I don't think the angels are up there worrying that things are going to work out or not. You know, there's a celebration going on. This is a celebration because, you know, he is so excited for us. And, you know, when we give our lives to Christ, we find that full and complete freedom in him. And all of these kids are hopeful and victorious because of what the Lord has done. I was blessed to be able to go through that school and give each class a salvation message. you know, and every little hand went up. And it's like, you know, that has nothing to do with me, right? And, you know, they're little kids and who knows what, but you know what? If they're saying, Jesus, come into my heart, Jesus is coming into their heart, you know? And so they have hope and they have that future because of what Jesus has done on the cross as well, right? I have to say, it's been a little bit hard for me since I came home, as far as spiritually goes. And there's a big difference between, like I said, you know, being there and working God full time and just being in that place all the time. And so many things are in your face as far as the spiritual battle goes. When I was talking about the weekend encounter and the plans for that, we were preparing for a second one. And one of the leadership who was supposed to speak was spiritually attacked in the middle of the night. She was sleeping, and she had a dream of two people attacking her. And when she woke up in the morning, she had cuts on the back of her neck, and she had stuff in the cuts, which they call charms, but are quite like small powdery kind of stuff. And I kept asking questions. I was like, what do you mean? She was asleep, and how, what's in her neck? Like, I didn't get it. I didn't get it. Like, you know, how does that translate? How does a dream translate into a physical thing that you wake up and this happens? And this is the kind of real life spiritual warfare that's going on there. And the story of that is basically we did pray for her and it was really amazing. Like the next, when we were praying for her, we saw healing start to come physically right into her neck and the stuff falling out. And then she slept very peacefully for the next night and the night after that. And I think that that in itself is an awesome testimony to the Lord as well, because, you know, I don't know if it was me in my house, you know, you're dealing with a lot of fear issues in and around that. But the Lord is so good that he just takes that away, you know, without us even understanding why or how. And so coming back, it's just been kind of different because it's a different kind of spiritual battle here. And I was talking to my friend about it, and it's like, it's so in your face. The enemy tries to be all-powerful, and he's kind of like, I can take you. I can take you physically. I can take you any way I want to take you, as far as the spiritual battle in Zambia goes. The spiritual battle here is so much more subtle. It's like the enemy tries to hide, and he tries to pretend that he doesn't exist, and he tries to, you know, make us think, oh, God, real, not real, spiritual warfare, is it real, not real, whatever, and he just, you know, he's lying there quietly, and I've actually felt almost a little more choked since I've been back than, you know, God just... It was amazing because the first trip I went, I had a lot of fear. There was spiritual things that happened that I was just dealing with fear all the time. Like, Jesus is with me, Jesus is with me. And this time I went and I just had so much more peace all the time. And I prayed about it when I got here. And I was just praying for the church in Canada and our church here. And I had this picture of this giant sleeping, or this sleeping giant, rather. You know, and I think that sometimes our knowledge can be overwhelming at times. You know, we know so much that we don't even know where to put our prayers or where to start or whatever. And, you know, it can become physically draining. It can become physically tiring, you know, and that almost like the depression is like, I couldn't do anything anyway. You know, I'm so small. What could I possibly do to change other people's lives or my life or, influence the people around me? This is a total and utter lie from the enemy. The enemy has been trying to put our church asleep. He's trying to tell us that we're too tired, you know, that it's whatever the lies are, that it's too soon, too late, you can't do it, you can't. I am just an ordinary, regular person, you know, and until about, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, God really started changing my life, And I really, all I could do was choose him. I couldn't do anything else but make that choice. You know, he's the one who did the healing. I don't even know how he started doing healing on my heart. But I made a choice that was like, I don't care what I look like. I don't care if I'm crying in church anymore. I don't care if I'm, you know, sobbing or shaking or whatever, whatever. I just wanted God. I just wanted God. And I was so tired of not having him, you know. And I think that's why the Lord, you know, this morning, I was like, oh, tears, tears, and crying. And you know what? To be honest, when the Lord started doing my healing, I was sick and tired of crying after a while. I was like, I don't want to cry anymore. Lord, it's like, you know, every time I go up for prayer, every time I close my eyes to worship, every time it's like, ah. Like people are going to think that I'm just Looney Tunes, first of all. She's got so many problems, right? And I just don't want to be, you know, sad. But God was just kind of like continuously like cleaning me out and cleaning me out. And you know what? Honestly, I still don't have it all together. Obviously, I was crying still this morning, right? And my life is not perfect. You know, don't stand there. Oh, yeah, you know, you can talk about celebration because your life is perfect. No, come on. My life is not perfect. I've got a lot of challenges still in front of me. And you know, but it's just God that we partner with. It's God who makes the changes in our heart. And it's God who uses us and sends us halfway across the world sometimes, you know, to work with this tiny community. And it's just like, these are the kids that will grow up and will impact their next generation. And I just want to give you that hope today that it's not, we're not too small. As a body, as we saw this morning, as people stood together in the body to support, you know, the worship and all of those things, we stand all together. And the Lord has made us, I saw the giant, you know, it's not small, right? And so I just want to pray about that right now. And I just want to pray for anybody who's just been feeling tired or too small, or just, you know, overwhelmed. So if you're feeling that, do you want to stand up? And I just want to pray for you right now. It's okay. I'm good. It's good. It's good. Yeah. So thank you, Lord. Okay.
All right. We were praying about this last night. And that's no coincidence, because she wasn't at the prayer meeting. And we didn't tell her what we were praying. And she didn't tell us what she was preaching. So this is God. And we all know that here at this church, we're more into growing people than we are growing a church. And that's a good thing. Because Natasha came and she was really broken. And had problems playing with her instrument, let alone leading worship, turned on. And she just grown and exploded, and then God sent her to Africa to change a whole town. You know, and we do things here like lead 20 churches and prayer meetings, and we do lots of exploits. We help out pregnancy care centers, and 2 weeks ago our whole church took a lady who had a baby in an empty apartment. We filled her apartment with furniture and stuff. And food, and we blessed her socks off. And she couldn't stop crying. You know, and some people have been tired of fighting and tired of doing. And they're like, oh, because, you know, we did start these campus churches so that we could reach our neighborhood and so that we could get out and do the stuff and not always be filled, but be filled and be pouring out. And sometimes we just feel like we're poured out more than enough. We're over-poured out, and we're almost empty. And if you feel like you've been poured out, and you feel like you're almost empty, and you're tired, and you're thirsty, well, Jesus said, or Isaiah said, and Jesus said, come you who have no money, and buy, drink, and eat. And right now, we just need strength. There's a place in the Bible where it talks about in Kings, it says, Elijah had no strength, so ministering angels came and ministered to him, and he had strength to run across a desert. Jesus had no strength after 40 days of fasting in a desert, which is physically impossible. Angels came and ministered to him. And I really believe that the Lord wants to come to you today and minister to you. As Natasha prays, because Natasha is a person, I've seen her in a ball of tears and depression saying, I have no strength, I can't do anything, I can't go forward, I don't know how to keep going forward. And we would just say, keep choosing God, keep worshiping God. And as she worshiped God, God filled her with strength. God filled her with love. God filled her with vision. And God sent her out to start a banana plantation and change a whole town. God sent her out to help a mission field. He sent her out. And I don't know where God's going to send you or what God's going to have you do, but I'll tell you this much. It's the one thing in your life that will really make you happy, because he knows what you were created for. And his plan is the best plan, because it's the plan that he created you for from the foundation of the earth. So just stand up. Good. Thank you. Hey. And just receive more from Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of strength, of courage, of peace, of joy, of love. And know that your God is God, and he cares about how you're doing.
Thanks, Jay. Let's just pray. Daddy, we just thank you, Father. We thank you that you have created us, Lord God, as a body. You have brought your church together as a body, Lord God. Father, we come against the lies right now in Jesus' name that would seek to separate us, Lord God, that would seek to tell us that, you know, we can't do things, Father, that we can't, that it's too late or too soon or we're not good enough, Father. We come against those lies right now. We come against those lies as individuals and as a church body. Ha. Lord, I ask, Father, that you would wake the sleeping giant, Lord God, that you would wake your bride, Lord God, that you would open her ears and open her mouth and her eyes, Lord God. She would breathe you in and breathe in new life, Daddy. Father, all things are possible with you, Daddy. All things are possible with you. We are more than conquerors, Father, because of your love, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he sets us free. And he sets us free from depression. He sets us free of being tired. He sets us free of disappointments. He sets us free from headaches. He sets us free, from just, you know, all the things that would seek to hold us down, Lord God. He sets us free from all brokenness in our body. And in our mind and in our spirit, he sets us free. Jesus, I ask that you would come and give that fresh revelation to each and every person, Lord. Jesus, I ask that you would come and release dancing feet, that you would come and release a spirit of joyfulness. Father, release your spirit of thankfulness.